We're going to start off in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And we're talking about the gift that God has for you. Okay? Now, as I was meditating on it, I realized we're all at different stages of our Christian walk in this room, right? And for those who are listening online, we're all at different stages in our walk. Okay? And even if you're not even a believer yet, you're at a different stage than everyone else. Okay, but everybody in this room is at a different stage or place in their in relation to God. Okay, and Ephesians chapter 2 starts to speak about one of the gifts from God. There's many gifts from God. Who doesn't like gifts? Okay, no hands went up. We like gifts, right? You know, I love gifts. You know, but you know what's sad is a lot of the time we get gifts and we don't even use them. And God wants you to become aware of what He's given you so that you can make use of it. Okay? God wants you to become aware of what is inside of you so that you can make use of it. And there's more inside of you than we're going to be able to cover tonight. You know, the Christian life isn't about trying to get more from God. The Christian life is about really discovering what God's put inside of you, what you've already got. Ephesians chapter 2. Now I want to go all over the place. But let's look at Ephesians 1 first, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ Jesus." And so if you look at that straight away, it's saying that we're already blessed with all spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, which means that you can't be blessed with more than you've already got because you've already got everything that you need inside of you. I mean, when I first heard that, and I'd been a Christian for a long time, that really just completely shook my world, realizing that I've already got everything. Every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus is inside of me. I've already been blessed with it. It belongs to me. He's given it to me. Now, I'm not in the process of trying to get more from God. I'm in the process of discovering through His Word and through the Spirit what He's placed inside of me. And the Christian life isn't a journey of becoming something. You know, religion tells us the lie that, you know, Christianity is about trying to become someone. And religion lies to us and tells us, you know, Christianity is all about trying to become something. You've got to become a better man of God, a better woman of God. And you'll get, you know, big meetings like that. You'll go to them, men's conference, women's conference, whatever. And what do? They put the pressure on you. Come on, you need to be a man. Be a man of God. Step up. Be a woman of God. You need to try harder. You need to do better. And what are they doing? They're putting the law on you. They're putting a bondage on you, which you can't do by yourself. That's not God's way. That's not the grace life. The grace life is, hey, you've got to discover what God's already done for you. You've got to discover what He's put inside of you. Yeah, you're saved. If you're born again, if you receive Christ, you're saved. You can't get any more saved than you are. Amen? You're saved. You're not just 10% saved or 50% saved, or you're 100% saved if you're saved. Okay, you're born again. You're a child of God. You're not trying to become a child of God. You're already a child of God. It's a gift that you've received. Salvation, this is what it's talking about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So when we're talking about a gift of God, what are we talking about? We're talking about something that's freely given to us, and it's something that we freely receive. How many of you have seen infomercials? Okay, you know infomercials, those ads on TV where if you phone now and you buy this product now, we'll give you a free gift. How many of you know that wasn't free? You paid for it somehow. Or someone paid for it, but usually you did. They overpriced their product so that they could work in a free gift. Right? Nothing's for free. Everything that you've got was paid for by someone. The gift of God, of salvation, was paid for by Jesus. You can't pay for it, you just receive it. You know, it's the same thing with a birthday present. I mean, if someone buys you a birthday present and uses your bank card, unless you're married to that individual, it wasn't a gift. Okay? You know, if you're married to them, you're one, and God belongs to both of you. So then it's a different story. But, you know, if your friend decides, hey, I want to really buy my friend Kunrad a great gift, I'm going to just take his wallet and just go to the shop and buy him a gift. And then, you know, I give him his wallet. I don't even give it back to him. I leave it where I found it, and he finds his wallet again, a couple hundred rand less. And I just bought him this awesome thing that he doesn't want. And I give him this gift, and he's like, wow, thank you for the gift, you know. And he's like, this isn't really what I want. And I used his money for it. That's not a gift, right? It's actually theft. Okay, the gift of God, first gift that we're looking at here is salvation, which has already been paid for. It's already been given to you. And it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know why it says that there? Because many people are trying to work to earn salvation. But you can't, because it's a gift. Salvation needs to be received. It's by grace through faith. Grace means it's a gift. It's a free gift. Faith means all you did to receive the free gift of grace is just say thank you and receive it. You know, receiving from God is easy. A lot of people try and fast and pray and I don't know what. Do all sorts of things to try and get God to move and do something. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says God's already moved. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says God has already moved. So what are you trusting God for? He's already moved. How do I know that? Because he's already blessed you with all spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. So it's not up to, God's not withholding. It's not up to him. All you're doing is receiving salvation and everything that salvation includes. So, you know, look with me, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6. Verse 23, this is a scripture that a lot of people love to quote, but they don't quote the second half, they quote the first half. The first half says, for the wages of sin is death. And then it's like they leave it there, and that's not good news. Amen? That's not the gospel. The gospel is good news. That's bad news. The bad news is the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Okay, what is a wage? It's something you earn. So what did you earn? You earned death. Thank you for not saying amen. That's not good news, right? I like the but. I'm not going to sing the song. The gift of God, I've sung it before. But the gift of God, the gift, it's a free gift of God. If it's a gift, that means someone paid for it. Did you have to pay for it? No, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So yes, the way, what you deserve is death. But what do you get? A free gift, which is eternal life. Who paid for it? Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's how you get eternal life. It's a gift that you receive. Okay? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, it's a gift, his only son, that whosoever believes in him, that's the faith part, shall not perish but have everlasting life, have eternal life. Eternal life is defined in John 17:3 when Jesus said, this is life eternal, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. So eternal life is a relationship with God. And it's a free gift that you receive when you believe in Jesus. It's been paid for. You know, this is a relationship which costs something. If you want to have a friendship with God, you have to buy your way in. But it's already been paid through the blood of Jesus. So you don't have to pay for it. You can't have an intimate relationship with God without a gift of blood. And Jesus was that sacrifice to bring you close to God so you can have a relationship with him. You know, it doesn't matter how bad you are. It doesn't matter how bad you think you are. It doesn't matter how pathetic you think you are. Jesus paid so that you could have an intimate relationship with God. So that you can be closer to him than the breath that you're breathing right now. The moment you receive Christ, you know what happens? 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 says, he that is joined unto the Lord. When you receive Christ, you're joined unto the Lord. Okay? And that scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6 17, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. So when you become a Christian, you become one with the Lord. That's how intimate you are with him. That's how close you are with him. Why? It's not because you live right and you do right and you pay your tithe and you go to church and you know your Bible. The only way that you're one with God is because you receive Jesus and what he did for you to make you one with God. Okay? That's good news. That's a free gift. You know how you enjoy that gift? You come to know that gift. You've got to grow in your the knowledge of what he's done for you. Grow in your understanding of who he is. It doesn't happen by accident. Okay? You can't enjoy something you don't know. There's lots of people who don't know we're here. They can't enjoy this evening. You know, I met someone last Sunday, actually. And they said, hey, what church do you go to? And I was like, I go to Grace Life. And they live in Stellenbosch. They have a business here. And they said, oh, I've never heard of you guys. And I was like, we need to do something about that. You know, we need to do something about that. The fact that people don't know we're here is sad. Because what they don't know, they're missing out on. You know, it's fine if at least they know us and they don't want to come. For whatever reason, that's their loss. But if they don't know, hey, it's our fault. We want them to be able to come, have the option at least. So, you know, the first gift I want to talk about there is the gift of salvation. It's the gift of God. It's a free gift for us. Now look at John chapter 14 with me. We're looking at a number of different gifts here. John chapter 14, we're not looking at all the gifts, but we're looking at some of the gifts here. John 14 verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give. That's talking about a gift. He will give you another comforter. Another meaning of the same kind there. In the Greek it says another of the same kind. So he's talking about a comforter who's just like me, who just like Jesus. He says, I'll give you another comforter of the same kind, just like me, that he may abide with you forever. And so this is the gift of God. Throughout Scripture it actually talks about the Holy Spirit as the gift of God. The Holy Spirit is a gift for you. Salvation is a gift for you, and then the Holy Spirit is a gift for you. Look at down at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And so there again, it's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift for you. And over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? What is the power of the Holy Spirit? If you missed out on any of it, you've missed out. Now, I can't go into all of what we've looked at, but the point is that the Holy Spirit is a gift for you, and yet many Christians don't enjoy the gift. Many Christians aren't opening up the gift, and you know, they're kind of maybe just enjoying the packaging, as if they're 3 years old. You know, a three-year-old enjoys the packaging more than the gift for a period of time. They enjoy the box. It wasn't a gift for them, but my mother-in-law gave us a little desk fan. In the box, I took the fan out and we enjoyed the fan. And William and Elliot enjoyed putting the box on their head and walking around. So I just cut a hole in it so that they could see through it, and it's part of their uniform. But not that we're enforcing them to wear it, but you know what I mean. But the point is that sometimes we enjoy the packaging more than the actual gift. You know, it's like some of you go through a lot of effort to wrap a gift. You know, the rest of us just put it in a gift bag. But you know, a lot of people go through effort to put nice wrapping paper, and I mean, I've seen people put like confetti in and stuff, and even spray cologne in it and stuff like that. I went to a shop where they gift wrapped, it was socks, and I was buying socks for someone, very nice socks, by the way, bamboo socks, and they did this. They put all sorts of stuff in, and then he sprays and he's wrapping it, and I wouldn't have done that. I would have put it in a toilet roll and wrapped it up like a cracker or something. But the point is they went through a lot of effort. Now imagine getting this beautifully packaged gift, and you're like, wow, it just looks so pretty. Some of you have said this, but you haven't followed through on it. It looks so pretty, I don't want to unwrap it. And then you just want to look at it, and a few seconds pass, and you're like, okay, what's inside? You know, the Holy Spirit, when we talk about him, when we teach about him, you're like, wow, this sounds awesome. But very few of us really just enjoy it to the full. Enjoy what is inside the Holy Ghost. Okay, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Let's look there. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. So this is talking about the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. Okay? So he's a gift for us to enjoy. You know, over the past couple of weeks, as I said, we've spoken about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we've spoken about the gift of tongues and some other things we've spoken about, but You know, there's so much for us to dig into, and as leaders, we were talking about it, I think, this past week. We could carry on with the theme of the Holy Spirit for the whole year, because there's just so much depth in it, and so much more than we can learn. You know, but we really feel to move on to other things. But, you know, there's certain things we need to know about the Holy Spirit in order to enjoy what God's got for us. Okay, we'll come back to some of the things about the Holy Spirit now, but turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Let's look at another gift there. This really, for me, links with the Holy Spirit and with the gifts of the Spirit, because now you get the gift of the Spirit, which is for you. And then with the gift of the Spirit, you get gifts of the Spirit, which are not for you. Okay, so you get this gift of the Spirit, which is for you. It amplifies your relationship with God. And then what happens? You get gifts in the Spirit. You get gifts of the Spirit, but those gifts aren't for you. You use them, but they're not for you. Okay, we're going to talk about that in a moment. But Romans chapter 5 verse 17, thank you. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one," talking about Adam, "much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Okay, so it's speaking about salvation there, and how when we receive salvation, we can reign in life. But I like how it breaks it up into three. It says we reign through Jesus Christ. We reign through, what's the first one there? We reign through the abundance of grace. You know, many people think that grace has a limit. That just proved you wrong. There's no limits to grace. I know that scared some of you right now. Grace is scary. There's no limits to it. God doesn't limit His grace, we do. What is grace? It's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. It's where you don't deserve God's blessing and He just says, have some more. And if you will receive it, you can have more. But you know what we do? We're like, no, Lord, I don't deserve that anymore. You've given me enough. Thank you so much. We're too ordentlich. We're too polite. We will hold back on going for the second helping of meal because, you know, it's polite. Don't you love our culture? It's culture. You know, we're too polite to go for more. And so we miss out. Okay? And the thing is with an abundance of grace, it means that there's always more than enough. And there's always more for you to get hold of. That's an abundance of grace. An abundance of undeserved favor. You know what undeserved favor means? Your job application is the one at the bottom of the pile. You don't deserve that job. But because of an abundance of grace, you get the job. You shouldn't have got it. Your application for whatever shouldn't have gone through because, hey, you aren't the best candidate. But because of the grace of God on your life, you've got an unnatural favor. Which, you know, you've got favor with God, so therefore you have unnatural favor with men. Favor is drawn to you. People want to give you stuff. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. We've experienced that. You just have, you know, you have a garage full of stuff. Because people just want to keep giving you stuff. You know, it's sometimes not always a nice thing, but the point is that unnatural favor will open doors which you sometimes have to turn down. Now, that's a good point. Unnatural favor, we actually do have an overloaded garage, but it's not all our stuff. Anyway, unnatural favor, the favor of God, unmerited favor, will open doors for you that you have to close sometimes and say no thank you to. I've had many opportunities presented in the last year or so, even 2-3 years, of really just traveling and ministering, and I've said no thank you to the majority of them. You know, the favor of God on my life has opened doors for me to go into places I never thought of, never imagined, and because, you know, I pray about it, sometimes I say no. Most times I say no. You know, and so that's the point. It's like sometimes you have a door of opportunity open, doesn't mean you should take it. You need to pray about it. Okay, maybe it was a word for someone, but let's move on. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, it says, the abundance of grace, and then it says the gift of righteousness. We're talking about the gifts of God. One of the gifts of God is righteousness, right standing with God. Another way of explaining, I love this way of explaining righteousness with God. Righteousness is being able to stand in the presence of God without any feeling of inferiority. Righteousness is being able to stand in the presence of God without any feeling of inferiority. Think about it. In the Old Testament, we read a lot of accounts where people come into the presence of God, and what do? A lot of them fall flat on their face. Woe is me. You know, Mary, all the people, even in the Gospels, who encounter an angel. Not talking about the presence of God now, we're talking about an angel. And they're filled with fear. You know, you've got the presence of God living inside of you now. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are God's address. Okay, that's one of the beauties of the New Testament, the New Covenant. But, you know, beyond that, because we are made righteous and we've got the gift of righteousness, we can have boldness and confidence when we stand before God, knowing that as He is, so are we right now. Okay? As He is, so are we right now. So righteousness is right standing before God. It's being standing before God without any feeling of inferiority, because you know that your righteousness is actually His righteousness. And you didn't do anything to make yourself righteous. So right now, if you've heard any teaching on how to become righteous, 10 steps to being righteous, growing in your righteousness, becoming a more righteous believer, just Control-Alt-Delete all. Get rid of it all, because it's a load of junk. Okay? Look with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I love speaking on righteousness. Hopefully we don't get stuck here. Wouldn't be a bad thing, but you know, there's other things we want to talk about. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus was perfect. He knew no sin, but He was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Some translations say that we might become. It's not talking about a process of becoming more and more righteous. You know, I used to believe that you know, I got born again over here, and this was the start of my journey of becoming more righteous. And, you know, when will I become righteous? When will I finally become like Jesus? Right. When I die. Yeah. And, you know, the day of your death, this is what I used to believe and even teach. You know, the day when I die, it's kind of like you want to die as close to being Christ-like as possible, but you'll never get there. It's kind of unattainable. You'll never get there. Okay, Control-Alt-Delete. Let's write the new story. The new story is, He became sin for me so that I could be made the righteousness of God in Him. Or in one instant, become righteous. When did you become a human? In an instant. Okay? At the moment of conception, you became a human. Now, then you matured in that humanity. Now, I've said this before. Some of you who are new, you wouldn't have heard me say this, but you know, my nearly three-year-old and nearly five-year-old are both 100% human, although they sometimes act like dogs. And they bark, or they act like cats, or whatever the favorite animal is of the day. They act like animals sometimes. They jump around. You know, the other day, we've been back for 2 weeks exactly now. We landed 2 weeks ago to the hour almost. And a few days later, we're in one of the shopping, I don't know which shop, and they're both in the trolley and they're facing each other, and they've got the biggest smiles on their faces, and they're just screaming at the top of their lungs. Ah! They thought it was lovely, you know? And I was like, no, stop this, please. You know, we can't talk, you know, shout and scream like this. They weren't acting human. But they're still 100% human. You know, when you became a Christian, you became 100% righteous. You got the righteousness of Christ. That scripture says that you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So in a moment, you became righteous. You don't become more righteous. In a moment, you became righteous. You are 100% righteous. Now you mature in that righteousness, in your understanding of that righteousness, and you can start to act a bit more righteous because you know who you are. My boys are learning who they are, and they start to act more and more like it. Okay, the same thing with us. We realize who we are in Christ so that we can act like it, not so that we can become like that. No. It's so that we can act like that. You already are, but you're just not living like it. The Christian life isn't about becoming, it's about discovering. And when you discover it, enables you to live it out. Okay, so we're talking about righteousness here, and it says that we've been made the righteousness of God in Him. It's not your righteousness, it's a gift. God gave you His righteousness, which means your righteousness is exactly like Jesus' righteousness. Okay, get ready for it. If you're religious, this will upset you. If you had a scale and you put your spirit righteousness there and you put Jesus' righteousness here, it would be perfectly equal. Jesus isn't more righteous than you are. Because your righteousness isn't your righteousness, it's His righteousness. Now we can go into a lot more depth on that. And if you want more depth on that, I think Rooted or the I Am devotional is probably two good studies to go through at the resource table and help you to understand more of that. But the point is that righteousness was a gift. It's not something you can earn. It's not something you can achieve. It's something that you receive. Okay, righteousness is an awesome gift of God. Amen? So we've been looking at a whole bunch of gifts there. And another gift is the gift of the Spirit, like we said. And within that gift, we have a number of gifts. Okay? And so I want to talk about some of these gifts. You know, you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We looked at a couple different scriptures this morning on this, and if you're wanting more on it, I encourage you to get a hold of the teaching or listen online or something, because it's different to what we're talking about now. Overlap a little bit, but it's different. But you know, the awesome thing with gifts is that because you've got the Holy Spirit, if you're you receive Jesus, you become a Christian. The Holy Spirit comes in and seals your salvation, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, and now you're saved. Okay, you've got the Holy Spirit, but now you don't have the empowering of the Spirit. You haven't surrendered to the Spirit yet. The Spirit hasn't come upon you, but He is within you. Now you need the Holy Spirit empowering so that you can live a supernatural life. And that supernatural life is talking about supernatural gifts to fulfill a supernatural call on your life. Every single one of us have a supernatural call on our lives. Okay, that doesn't excite you. But it should. I know it's probably, I don't know, if you're cold, I'm warm in here. You're probably falling asleep. But this stuff should get you excited to know that God wants to use you in His master plan to rescue the world. He wants to use you to impact and change this nation and this world, this continent, the whole world. Okay? Every single one of us, when we receive Jesus, when we receive the empowering of the Spirit, we've got something to give. We've got something to contribute to the bigger picture. Okay? And we're talking about spiritual gifts now. Your natural gifts are awesome. We love them. You know, it's awesome. Use your natural giftings. But there's certain things in your life which would be supernatural, not just natural. Okay? You know, you might know what your spiritual gifts are. You know, you even might know what some of your natural giftings are. I believe your natural gifts are also gifts from God. But we're talking about supernatural gifts here, which are, it's kind of like, it's the empowering of the Spirit in you to be able to do something that you couldn't naturally do or learn. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about a supernatural gifting. And these giftings are given to us to be able to accomplish the purpose of God for our lives and the church. Okay? The problem is a lot of us enjoy the wrapping and we're not using the gift. Or we've taken the gift and we've put it with the rest of the ornaments on the shelf and it gathers dust. We're not using it. And yet God wants you to use your gifts. And let me say it like this. I said the gifts aren't for you. They're for you to use to give to other people. God's got a gift for you and it's sitting in the person sitting next to you. Okay, so this, after the service today, it's a great opportunity to go and shake someone and say, I'm not experiencing your gifting. There's a gift inside of you which you're stealing from me. Thief. Okay? You know, if you're just attending and you're not participating in the body of Christ, in the church, then you're stealing from us. We're going to catch you out. Just a joke. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Okay? Concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are spiritual gifts, and Paul's saying he doesn't want us to be ignorant of them. Why? Because if you're ignorant of them, you won't enjoy them. You won't operate in them. You know, I'm pretty sure that there's a number of us here this evening even who don't even know about spiritual gifts. And there's no condemnation. At one point, I didn't know about them, and I had to learn about them. But the point is God's heart for us is that we learn these things so we can enjoy these things. Okay? We've all got spiritual gifts to use to be a blessing to the church. Look at verse 7. Okay? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Each and every single one of us who are part of the body of Christ have something to give, have something to contribute to building God's kingdom and helping to reach the world. It's not just about the pastor or teacher going out into the world and doing this and doing that, or the evangelist having a mass crusade. You know, behind every minister like that, there's many people form a team to be able to accomplish that. God doesn't believe in one-man shows, and we shouldn't either. Okay? You might see one part of the body of Christ. You might see one gifting more than the other, but it takes many giftings to support that gifting to be able to reach people and accomplish something. You know, it's awesome that we've got an awesome leadership team in this church, and we've got an awesome dream team in this church who pull together to be able to make everything happen, even if the lead pastor is away for 3 months, like I was. That's a miracle, and all it does is it shows that we've got an awesome team. And that awesome team is using their giftings and their callings to be able to accomplish something. Okay? That's a good testimony. But it says here, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Say each one.
One.
So each one means that you've got a gift to give. Okay? You've got something to give. And then it goes on and it says, for the profit of all, meaning your gifts isn't supposed to benefit you, it's supposed to benefit all of us. So you might be sitting, I believe there is someone like that here. You've been saying to God in your room by yourself, God, I really desire to prophesy. There's someone here, I really believe it actually, that you've been really desiring the gift of prophecy. You want to be able to encourage people and give them a word in season and all of that. You know that while you're praying for that in your room, it's never going to happen. Because there's no one in your room besides you. So how can God give you a gift to use to benefit the body of Christ if you're sitting all by your lonesome with no one to use the gift on? You know, all of a sudden you've got a gift of prophecy and it's like you go to the mirror and you're like, I just want to prophesy over you, you handsome thing. You know, and you just, that's not the gift of prophecy. That's something else. You know, what you need to do is you need to say, okay, God, you know, I desire the gift of prophecy. I desire to encourage someone with a word that builds them up and edifies them and encourages them. It's a word in season where you've just got the right scripture for someone. You don't know what they're going through, but you just have a word of encouragement for them. You go up to them and you're like, I just feel God saying to you that you shouldn't give up. I mean, that's an awesome word of prophecy for someone who wants to give up. You might not want to give up and say it means nothing to you, but for someone who wants to give up, if you go up and God just wants you to know, don't give up. That's like, wow. You know, thank you, Jesus. I needed to hear that. If you're desiring that, don't just pray about it. Go and step up. You know, in church, when you're at home or when you're with friends or whatever, Bible study, pray and say, God, give me a word for someone. And then you'll feel something on your heart. And then what do you do with that? You're like, okay, you know, I just had a scripture on my heart I want to encourage you with. Wham, bam, there. Yeah, be encouraged. Hopefully, you got it right. If you didn't, don't be discouraged. Keep going. Keep trying. Okay, but the point is that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I like the word manifestation here, not just because it sounds funny. Okay? The word manifestation means it's like a revealing of something that is there. Okay? So manifest is like there's something there and it becomes apparent. So manifest and manufacture aren't the same thing. What does manufacture mean? It's to create, to produce something. Okay? You do not produce the gifts of the Spirit. You do not produce a prophecy. You do not manufacture it or come up with it. You know, I saw someone call themselves a prophet and act in the office of a prophet. So they came to a meeting and they sat there and they were like, they had a list of everyone who was going to be at this meeting. And the night before, They prayed and they were in the Bible and they spent hours getting a scripture for every single person. And they wrote it down next to the person's name. I mean, you know, maybe if you start off like this, okay, but this person was apparently a renowned prophet. And then they called up each person and they said, I've got a scripture for you. I have a word for you. And then they would look for it. And then they would find their notes and they would say, oh, yes, this scripture, blah, blah, blah. And I was sitting there going, like, where's the faith in that? Yeah, it's not something that you do in and of your own strength. It's something where you're like, okay, I have this thing inside of me that just wants to come out. And so you go up to someone and you're just like, I just feel God wants to encourage you with this scripture. And you're like, yeah, I know the plans that I have for you. Good plans. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. God's got an awesome future for you. And you don't have to worry about your future. As long as you're focused on Him and you're seeking Him, He's got good things in store for you. And it's like, wow. That was great. You didn't have to look at your notebook. You know, it's the Spirit flowing through you. You just switch on. You turn on the tap, and then you go for it. Let's look at that scripture actually quickly before we continue on. But we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 14:32. 1 Corinthians 14:32. But the point is that the gift of the Spirit is manifested. It's not manufactured. That takes the pressure off of every single one of us. You don't have to manufacture a word from God. You don't have to manufacture encouragement. You don't have to manufacture healing. You don't have to manufacture a miracle. It's God who does it, and you release it. That's good news, isn't it? How many of you can heal something? No, none of us. You can't heal an ant. But God's power inside of you can, and all you need to do is learn to release it. Okay, it's a gift of the Spirit. It's something that's given to you to give to somebody else. 1 Corinthians 14:32. It says, in the King James Version, it says that the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That's meaning that your spirit, your gifting inside of you is subject to you. It's under your control. So the gift of God, the gift that God gives you, is at your control. It's at your disposal. You use it or you don't use it. How many of you know that you've got talents that you don't use? I'm not going to condemn you. Come on. You've got talents and you're sitting on them. Yeah, you know, I'm sure that if some of you even know your spiritual giftings and you're sitting on them. And you're like, yeah, but I'm not very strong in that gifting anyway, that spiritual gift. You know what the problem is with that? You're going to stay weak in that spiritual gift because you've never used it. You know, if you exercise the first week, 2 weeks, I don't know how long, it's difficult, right? If you're getting into exercising, because what? It's difficult. Now, it's not difficult with the Holy Spirit because you're not manufacturing something and it's not in your flesh. But the point is, the more you use the gift, the stronger you become in it. Okay? 2 Timothy 1:6-8. I'm just going to read verse 6. It says, that is why I want you to remember the gift of God. I'm reading from the easy-to-read version. I want you to remember the gift that God gave you. God gave you that gift when I laid my hands on you. Now I want you to use that gift and let it grow more and more, like a small flame grows into a fire. So it's saying there, remember the gift of, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So you've got a gift of God inside of you, and which is the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. You need to stir it up. You need to fan it into flame. You know, if you're brying, you make one little flame, it doesn't go in once, unless you've got some kind of help, you know, gasoline or something. But you have one little flame, and then you usually stand with a paper plate, or if you're more fancy, something else. And what are you doing? You're doing this, or an ice cream tub lid. And you're making it, you're fanning it to flame, and it gets bigger and bigger. Your gift becomes stronger as you use it. If you don't use it, it becomes weak. God doesn't take your gift away. Because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, He doesn't take them back. But if you don't use it, you become weak in it. And it feels like it's dead. But if you start to use it, if you start to stir it up inside of you, it starts to grow stronger and stronger. You know, with words of prophecy and words of knowledge, I didn't start off just at, you know, running 100 miles an hour. I don't think I'm running 100 miles an hour now anyway, but you don't just start off by going for it. You start baby steps and you grow more and more confident in it. And the more you grow in it, the stronger you get in it. Okay, so I may have started off just by, you know, SMSing scriptures to people. You know, I used to take my old Nokia 3310. And you know, some of you don't even know what that is. And I used to push down on the address book. And it used to just scroll down. And then I would randomly stop and I would pray in tongues over that individual. And I would think, okay, you know, let me send this scripture to them. And I just send them a scripture. And so many people would message back and say, thank you, I needed to hear that. That's awesome. And I grew more confident in it. Like, I'm hearing God's voice. I know He's saying something. So then I would do it again. And then I would start to step out a little bit more and go, okay, Lord, is there something else you want to say to them? To the place where I remember messaging someone and saying, the thing that you're about to do, I feel God saying to you, don't do it, just seek Him. That's a bit more of a risky word, isn't it? But I took some steps to get there. And that friend of mine messaged me back straight away about 15 years ago and said, what did they say? They said, I was just about to break up with my boyfriend. It was across a cultural relationship, and it was difficult, and she just felt like she could, you know, it was too difficult for her. And she said, you know, I know that this relationship is from God. It's just the pressure from the outside I can't handle at the moment. And so she stayed, she stuck it through. Today they're in ministry together, they're married, they're in ministry together, they're pastoring a church together, and they've got 3 or 4 kids. Because, not because of me, but because I just released a word. I was stepping out in boldness and faith, and maybe God would have used someone else, but he used me. Because I was willing and obedient to give the word, which I felt on my heart. Okay? You know, that developed. And some of you have heard other testimonies that I've given, but you know, you've become more and more bold in it, where you know, I'm praying in the Spirit. And as I explained this at Leadership Equipping, as you're praying in tongues, you know, the Holy Spirit starts to reveal things to you and you start to see things. All of a sudden, you start to know things that you didn't know before. Your understanding becomes enlightened, and you start to know something that you don't naturally know. And once I was in a service, I was not in ministry yet. But I was standing at the door greeting people, and someone came to the service. I'd never seen them before, but I just had this draw towards them. And it was really the love of God in me, because we've all got the love of God in us. Some of us just hide it very well. Amen? Some of us keep it very, you know, I've got that, what's it, like the joy. I've got the joy down in my heart, but it's very deep down with the love of God, and I'm hiding it. And people think you're not a Christian, and then they find out you're a Christian and they're shocked. We're supposed to let the love out. So we've all got the love of God in us. It's a fruit of the Spirit, a natural byproduct of having Jesus in you. So you've got the fruit of the Spirit. You've got Jesus in you. You've got love. And I felt the love of God drawn in me towards this person I'd never seen before. During worship, I was just praying in the Spirit and just saying, God, is there something that I can pray for this guy for? After the service, I went up to him, and I mean, I was sitting somewhere in the church. I wasn't in leadership or involved in that church like that. And I just went up to him. I said, you know, I haven't met you yet. My name's Shane. He introduced himself. I said, I feel God's told me I must pray for you. And he kind of looked at me. And then he said, God, I just asked God to send someone to pray for me. You just need to be sensitive to what the Spirit's saying to you, and then obedient to follow through. So then what did I do? I said, okay, that's great. Let me pray for you. And he said, there's just so much going on in my life. I said, please don't say anything. Let me just pray for you. Then we can talk. I didn't want him to say what I was going to say. So I had written some notes on my hand from praying in the service. And I was like, Lord, what do you want to... And I had a whole bunch of things that I felt in my heart. So I just wrote down some headlines. Just one word, 3 words really on my hand here. And I went to him and I was like, you know, let me just pray for you. And I put my hand on his shoulder and I just started to pray for him, looking at my notes, just my 3 words to help me remember, because I hadn't done this before. And I just said, you know, God wants you to know that you're his son and he's your father. He was with you from the day, he was with you from the day you were born. The enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy your life, and he's been there all along, protecting you, guiding you. You felt like you were the only one without a dad sometimes. You felt like you were alone. He was there on the sidelines when you were playing sport, cheering you on. I got into details like that, you know, and that's quite some bold words. It's not just scripture, right? I'd grown to that place because I was using that gifting, and it fanned into flame. You know, this guy was bawling. He was crying. And a few days later, when he was able to talk to me, he told me, and I'm telling you very bits and pieces of the story, but he told me that he was adopted at birth. His adopted dad drank himself to death. He had nearly died a number of occasions. throughout his life from the moment he was born. And there was just so much stuff involved there. And it just blessed him immensely to where he became a lunatic, like in a sense of, in a positive way, Jesus free. Because God loves me, and you know, he just went wild. You know, where I saw him, the way he was loving God and serving God, he burned out. That's how passionate he was for the Lord. You know, he got maybe mixed up in the wrong crowd. But anyway, but that's the point, is that a word from God, God can use you to transform and change someone's life, and it's just by you stepping out in faith. I mean, many of us have tried to minister to someone, I hope. So you're trying to minister to someone, trying to witness to them. Maybe it's an atheist. Maybe you're an atheist. You're like this. Okay, so you know, there's an atheist, and you're in an argument, or you're kind of, this is the reason for creation, or this is the proof of existence of God, and it's intellectual. Let me just help you for a moment. We're in a university campus, and this is vital, and it's important that we all get this. Christianity is not an intellectual exercise. Christianity is a relationship with God. And so when we're witnessing to someone, we're witnessing, Acts 1:8 says, you receive power, supernatural ability when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses to Jesus, witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So you know what that scripture is saying? Jesus is saying, you will receive supernatural ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then it says, you shall be witnesses unto me in all the world. So we're witnesses of Jesus. We're not just talking a story. We're witnesses of a person. We're saying we're witnesses. You know what a witness is? It's someone who's experienced or seen something. So you're giving firsthand information and evidence. You're not just regurgitating something that you found. You're saying, I know Jesus. Okay, now look at this verse with me. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. Mark chapter 16, 20. Says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So what it's saying is they went forth and preached. The Lord worked the miracles. Okay, God wants to confirm his word with signs and wonders and miracles. We have to step out in faith and release it. It doesn't happen by accident. Okay. We have to lay hands on the sick for them to recover. We have to speak to the mountain in order for it to move. We have to step out of the, you know, if you want to walk on water, you've got to step out of the boat. How many disciples walked on water with Jesus? One. How many disciples were in the boat? You know, there were many others who didn't even try. Let's be the disciples who step out of the boat and allow the power of God to manifest. It's not your power, it's his power. Just keep your eyes on Jesus so you can stay afloat. Amen? So it shows us that God works. He produces the supernatural. It's our job just to release it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. I'm going to read from the easy-to-read version here as well. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. It says, God also proved it by using miraculous signs and wonders and all kinds of miracles. And he proved it by giving people various gifts through the Holy Spirit in just the way he wanted. So, you know, God proved his word through signs, wonders, and miracles. Imagine if Jesus came to earth and Jesus had a great message about forgiveness, and he had a great message on righteousness and all of this stuff, but he didn't do anything. He just lived a good life, you know, like many religious people. Just lived a good life and had a good message and just loved people. And then he died and that was it. Or even, you know, you kind of look at that and you're like, well, what about the other religious leaders who lived good lives and just, you know, had a nice message and all of that? There's no difference between, you know, both are powerless then. But Jesus did many miracles, turned water into wine. Usually that's the most popular one in Stellenbosch. Turned water into wine. He raised he healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead. He cast out demons. Yeah, he did many things. And what, you know, he did many, many things. And then he said, you can do the same works that I did and even greater works than these. So, you know, the difference between religion and Christianity is religion is dead and Christianity is a relationship. It's not an intellectual exercise. And so when we're sharing the gospel with someone, the gospel is a powerful message. And if someone's heart is open, just speaking the gospel will accomplish something. But you know what? God wants to take it a step further and demonstrate the gospel. Hey, I see that you're struggling with your back. Hey, I see that you're struggling with X, Y, and Z. Hey, I see that you've got this problem. Let me pray for you. And then they get healed. They get touched by the power of God. They experience. We can experience God. You know, that's God's heart, is that we receive this gift of the Spirit, this empowering, so we can be effective witnesses in all the world. Not so that you can have goosebumps in your bedroom or in a church service. It's so that you can be an effective witness in the entire world. Amen? Hopefully you'll get excited about it at some point. Now, the one thing I want to say, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Let's look at this verse. 1 John 2, verse 27. It says, "But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you." The anointing which you've received of him abides in you. The anointing, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. And this anointing abides in you. It goes on and says, and teaches you all things. That's not saying that you don't. And it says, you have no need that a man teach you and whatever. It's not talking about this, what we're doing now. Because in Ephesians chapter 4:11, it says that Jesus gave some to be teachers in the body of Christ. And so we need teaching. But you know what happens? Is the Holy Spirit is the one who's hanging. He's doing something between my lips and your heart. He's doing something. And some of you have already seen that happen tonight, where you've gotten something out the message that I didn't say. The Holy Spirit quickened something to you and took you on a different path and ministered something that you needed tonight. And that's how God works. Okay, but the point I want to show you here is the anointing which you have received of him abides or lives or dwells is fixed in you. The anointing, the Holy Spirit, the anointing to be able to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit lives in you. It doesn't come and go. That's why the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You've always got the supply in you. Now you just need to let the supply out, turn the tap on and allow it to flow. And as you allow it to flow, you know, you should be able to. We're growing confidence in this. But at any moment, you should be able to turn on, release the Holy Spirit, and just encourage someone. I don't know if I shared this with you guys yet, but I'll share it again. When we were in England ministering in one of the church's leadership meetings, Martin and I basically just shared how we planted Grace Life and how things started and where we are up until now. We answered some questions in front of this young leadership team. And then the pastor of the church decided he'd throw us in the deep end, and he just said, you know, now what we're going to do is Shane and Martin are going to prophesy over everyone. And he wasn't joking. And we just smiled, and we said, we just didn't say anything. We just smiled. And afterwards, Martin and I both said the same thing. You know, the Holy Spirit's always on. We just turn him on. He's the one who's got a word for someone. We just have to listen. That's one of the easiest ways to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, is just listen to what God's saying and do what he's saying. Okay, you might not know if you've got the gift of healing yet, or a gift of healing. If you feel God saying, just go and pray for that person, or if you see someone who's sick, just go lay your hands, pray for them, and just let it start to flow and grow, and you'll start to see things happen. So anyway, so we just said, who's first? And someone stood up, and we prophesied over them, and we went through everyone in the room, about 15 or 20 people. And afterwards, the pastor's wife was like, wow, that was amazing. People were so encouraged. It was spot on. And, you know, in the service, someone had come to the pastor and given him a word of prophecy. And he said to me, you know, this guy often comes with prophecies. And I just felt, because of time in the service, we're not going to release the prophecy in the church, you know, because he also had a prophecy last week. And so he was just like, I just let it slide. But he said, you gave me the exact same prophecy. And that I didn't know about that. You know, it's not me, it's just listening to the Holy Spirit and then flowing in it. We can all do that. We grow in it, but we can all do that. We've got the same Holy Spirit. You and I have the same Holy Spirit. You know what's even more powerful than that? Is we've got the same Holy Spirit as Jesus. When you understand the gift of righteousness, right standing with God, it will give you boldness and confidence in moving in the gifts of the Spirit. When you understand that God's not holding anything against you, this is righteousness. When you understand God's not holding your sin against you, when you understand that he loves you and accepts you and he blesses you in spite of you, it gives you boldness and confidence to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Because you don't have to operate in the gifts of the Spirit only when you're doing well. You can operate in the gifts of the Spirit when you're having a bad day. Okay, you can operate in the gifts of the Spirit when you're not feeling so good. When you feel like you need ministry. And I realize, like, some of you might not know what some of the gifts of the Spirit are. So we're not going to get into all of them, but I just want to read a scripture to show you some of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 11. Says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. So, how do you get a word of wisdom? It's through the Spirit. What is a word of wisdom? It's supernatural. It's the wisdom of God for a situation that you didn't naturally know. Some of you are pretty clever, and if someone came to you for advice, you would be able to give them advice. Amen? Okay, none of you. The point is when someone comes to us for advice, we can all offer advice, but sometimes that advice is just something we've learned, or it's carnal. It's wisdom of this world. And it's not necessarily negative, but a word of wisdom is God's wisdom for a situation. It's something you would have never thought of. Okay? Then it's, and that comes through the Spirit. It doesn't come through your education. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. A word of knowledge is knowing something about someone, knowing something about a situation which you didn't naturally know. You know, I can look here and I see at least 2-3 people with glasses. So, I mean, you know, I could say, hey, there's somebody here who has eye problems. Yeah, that's not that strong, is it? It's a bit weak. But I can't see what's happening inside your body. You know, so a word of knowledge would be something, I know something about someone in this room or a situation which I didn't naturally perceive. It's spiritually discerned. God put it on my heart. Is there someone here with a shoulder problem? Lorenzo, which shoulder? And you. And the way. There. Okay, so there's two shoulder problems. Which of you is it for the left? Your left shoulder. For you, Lorenzo? You're right. It doesn't matter. God can heal that anyway. But I really felt like during worship there was someone here with a left shoulder problem. So, Aubrey, can you just put your hand on the shoulder there? And Father, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever that shoulder problem is, we just command it to be restored now in Jesus' name. We release the power and the life of God to flow. Any pain or discomfort, go in Jesus' name. And Lorenzo's shoulder too. We just command healing and life to flow now. Whatever damage there is, we command a reversal of it. We command life to flow and manifest now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just move it around. Was there any pain beforehand? I should have asked that first. Is it feeling better? For Lorenzo, it's feeling better? Okay, thank you, Lord, that there's complete restoration there in the name of Jesus. You know, that's how God wants to work, is where he reveals something that you can't see someone with a shoulder problem, I don't think. You know, it's something that God has to reveal it to you. Let's go through the rest of the gifts here. It says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, faith, the gift of faith, we all got faith, amen? You've got the faith of Jesus. But the gift of faith would be like a supernatural ability to just believe against all odds in every situation, and you just go for it, and you go for it, and nothing can deter you. Okay? And there's lots of things I want to say about this gift, but I'm going to restrain myself and just say that this is an awesome gift. We can all operate in faith. So don't disqualify yourself if you don't feel you don't have the gift of faith. You've got the same faith of Jesus, so you can still accomplish great things. Amen? The point is with this gift is it's not just for you. It's for you to be a blessing to the body of Christ. So we're not at all at the same place with regards to our faith, right? Not all of us are operating in our faith like we should, right? That's why we're here. We want to learn and grow in our faith. We want to develop our faith life. And so, you know, what you do then is if you're needing to trust God for something, if you're needing breakthrough in your life and you're like, well, I'm not at the place to believe for that, you know, you get brothers and sisters around you who can stand with you, who are maybe a strong place in their life, or you go to someone who's got the gift of faith and they stand with you. It's like a crutch. The gifts of God, you know, God uses the gifts, but they're not his best. It's for the unbeliever and for the immature and the people who are still developing to get them to a place where they can receive from God directly. Because God's will is that you receive from him directly. Healing, freedom, whatever you need. But sometimes it's good. We just don't see the manifestation of what we need. So we get people of faith around us to stand with us and go for it. Okay, so it's the gift of faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, and let me just stop and say, discerning of spirits is not discernment. Some of you might have a bad Bible which calls it discernment. It's not the gift of discernment. There is no spiritual gift of discernment. Okay? We are all called to operate in discernment. Amen? How many of you, I mean, just think about it. We all want to be discerning. God wants you to be discerning. He doesn't want, you know, Kunrad to have the gift of discernment and me not. And every time I need to make a decision, Kunrad, what should I do? There's this pedophile who wants to babysit my children. Should I let them? I mean, I'm using a very heavy example there, but think about it. Like, you grow in discernment according to your knowledge. And so we should all be digging into the Word, and as we know more truth, it helps us to discern better. Okay, so the gift of discernment, there's no such thing. It's the discerning of spirits, being able to know what spirit is in operation behind someone. What in some situation, evil spirits, you know, good spirits, whatever. And then it says, gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So those aren't all the gifts, but those are just a few of the gifts. There's some other spiritual gifts. Some of you might like this one. It's the gift of giving. A supernatural ability to make money so that you can give lots of it into the kingdom for the advancement of it. You know, there's the gift of administration. There's different gifts. You know, there's the fivefold gift. Office of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. There's different gifts, and you know, we don't all have the same gifts. Why? Because it's like a puzzle. We're all a different piece to make up the beautiful picture. We're all a different piece so that we can advance God's kingdom together. God doesn't call us to be one-man shows, one-woman shows. He calls us to stand together so that we can accomplish things together. Amen? So I trust that this evening you've been stirred up a little bit, if not a lot, to be able to just see that God has put a gift inside of you. At least one. If you don't know what that gift is, or you don't know how to operate in that gift, or you're just confused about all of this, come in May, we're having Discover Course. And during the month of May, every Sunday after the morning service, over lunchtime, we'll give you a free lunch even. So students, that might be a draw card. Where we focus, it's growth track. And in the third week of the month, we focus in on Discover, where we do gifts tests, and we explain the gifts to you. We show you how you can fulfill, you know, release what's inside of you within the context of Grace Life and with the ministries that we're associated with. But the point is God has something inside of you. Stop sitting on it. God has something, put something inside of you to release into the body of Christ so that we can be blessed, and you can be blessed as we're blessed. Amen? When we're not using our giftings, you know what happens is we're stealing from each other. And when we're using our giftings, we're helping to build the body of Christ so that we become as strong so that we can reach the world for Jesus. Amen. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Father, that you've got so many good things in store for us, that we've got the gift of salvation which we can receive. We've got the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we can receive. We've got the gift of righteousness, right standing with you, Father, that we can receive. And it's all a gift. It's freely given to us. All we need to do is receive it. We thank you that in the gift of the Spirit, there's gifts of the Spirit. And we can use those gifts to be able to be a blessing to other people. And we just thank you, Father, that you've got gifts for us.